Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Bookwormies. I'm your host, Aaron Helton, here to take you down the wonderful world of nonfiction books. I have taken a little bit of a health break, and I'm back with some very interesting books coming up. So one that I read over my little break, it's called A Failure of Nerve by Edwin H. Friedman. Now, the interesting thing about this book is it's from actually 1999. Was privately published 3 years after the author's death, actually. Edwin H. Friedman, unfortunately, had passed away in 1996. And it's an interesting book. This is the 10th anniversary edition, printed in 2017. And the foreword is by Peter L. I can't quite pronounce the name. S-T-E-I-N-K-E. Stank? Stank? Maybe, I don't know. Now, I really had an interesting time. This was quite a thought-provoking book, I will say. So the general themes of A Failure of Nerve comes out at about 266 pages. The idea is, its subtitle says, Leadership in the Age of the Quick Fix. And it's a bit of a societal commentary, a social commentary of sorts in this book. And we talk about, at least the author talks about at length, the, I guess, overvalue of empathy in a developed society to the point of overusing it and failing to utilize accountability. Almost like some people would argue like cancel culture and things like that. Like, oh, I'm afraid to say anything because people may come out. And I think that the reason this is so thought-provoking is the author kind of came out swinging, essentially. As I read this book, the word that came out was kind of harsh at times. The way this book is sectioned off is kind of the first half is almost like just digging at empathy as like a tool. And I'm sitting there like as an emotional coach and a leadership coach, I'm like, man, this is really important stuff you're like tearing down, right? And it gets me to the point of like, okay, should I put this book down? Should I be done with it? And I say, no, there's got to be another side to this. And about halfway through, now I don't know if this was Peter or whoever took up the mantle of the of Edwin Friedman's notes, or if this was Edward Freeman coming to a close in his arguments. However, they do start in the book to speak about the necessity of accountability and self-change and ownership in and of yourself, as opposed to just saying, hey, empathy is so important. Like, look at me. I'm a victim. Please help me. Right. You know, there are moments for, hey, you know, woe is me. I need help. And that's what leads us to seek community. And, you know, I talk a lot of self-help books, of books that touch on trauma. It's absolutely important to have moments of, man, I went through some stuff. I feel really bad. I need to lean on some people. And that's absolutely important. That's why as the book starts to kind of tear at empathy as a tool and a resource, I sit there and I'm like, whoa. But I will say it turns around and starts talking about the necessity of self-ownership and accountability. And of course, the opposite is true as well. We see very often accountability being overly used, such as a focus on data and results. And hey, you know, you haven't hit your numbers for the week. And then suddenly you're on the streets, right? You're fired from your job. And that's, of course, another example of an extreme where empathy, right, and consideration and focus on situations and concepts and variables that are not purely of the data or purely objective, then the subjective side can kind of help create balance. And that's what I think this book kind of led me to as I looked at it and as I thought about it. But again, very thought-provoking in the sense of looking at, man, are we over-relying on the empathy and the kindness of other people, essentially? And it's interesting. It's like we're so polite or we're so nice that we're not being kind. If you've heard of that, niceness and kindness being different in the sense of niceness being, oh man, my buddy's breath stinks. I'm just going to bear with it and I'm going to be nice. Whereas kind would be, hey, it's going to hurt a little bit to hear, but man, your breath stinks. Here's some gum, right? And that's the difference I say between niceness and kindness. And I think that that's a similar point that this book is getting to. That said, I will go ahead and read a little bit. I believe page 143 had a very interesting section. So I'll go ahead and read this. It has a note on the top right, which says, societal regression has perverted the use of empathy into a disguise for anxiety. And I think that was really interesting in the sense of a disguise for anxiety. What I think of when it says that is, you know, empathy is a very wonderful tool, and the reliance of others of, hey, you know, will you baby me for a moment? Will you take care of me? Like, yes, absolutely. That's love. That's community. And I think the overt use of empathy as a tool in that case, I believe that the book is getting at, it makes me think of a mama's boy, essentially, right? Where you're like, I don't want to get a job because my parents will pay for things. And like, oh, woe is me. I'm having trouble getting out there in the big bad world. And it's like, oh, it's okay. You could stay. Like, we'll put you up for a little while, etc. And then it gets to a point where, whoa, hold on. We're getting to an age where you're not learning self-reliance and you're not like, you know, we haven't kicked you out of the nest. So the bird isn't going to learn how to fly sort of situation. Again, this is an example that is to an extreme. There are situations where, hey, you know, I'm going to stay at home for a year, save some money, get out and then go. There's other situations of, hey, saving the money, or I'm in a gap year, or I want a home base, or, you know, there's situations in which I think this is an acceptable behavior. And I think it needs to get pretty extreme to where living with family is a not an acceptable behavior. But in the sense of societal like pressure and self-reliance, and especially in American culture, the value of independence, then there definitely tends to be a stigma in situations like that. And I think that that's kind of what this book, I think, gets at, in the sense of, here are some of the things that lead to extreme situations like that, if that makes sense. So I'll go ahead and read a little bit of this scene here. It talks a little bit about the difference of focusing so much on feelings, which is an over-reliance on empathy, and then also a over-reliance on data, which is the pure accountability, the pure objective set of data. All right, but let's go ahead and read this little tone right here, and I'll give you my thoughts on the book as a whole. So this section right here, again, it's focusing on the concept of feelings versus data and the extremes of both. And so it says, while a focus on feelings would seem to be the exact opposite of a focus on data, it has an equally regressive effect on leadership. What the orientation towards data and the orientation towards feelings share in common is a focus on weakness or immaturity rather than on strength, an orientation towards others rather than towards self, and a way of avoiding issues of personal accountability. Now, that is one thing that I didn't touch on, is focus on weakness or immaturity. And what this means is, hey, I'm not able to do this, or I'm scared, or I don't have this ability, or let's take, I've spoken before of my autism and my neurodivergence. It's an interesting take of this book of like, yeah, you've got that. And what if you get zero support? How are you going to live? How are you going to sort it out? What are you going to do? And it's because of the awareness of like, well, there's accommodations and there's things that I can advocate for. You know, again, using my autism as an example, I could say, well, I can't really be a public speaker because of my autism. I get nervous. I get scared. You know, social skills, I have trouble with that. But then, you know, I do regular speeches. And there was a time where I had that mentality of, I cannot do this because I am limited. And I realized that a lot of those limitations were self-imposed. And so I believe that the idea of this book, and actually, let me pause for a moment. I do not want to go down a route with this conversation or this statement of, yeah, just stop being a victim and like figure your stuff out. Please do not take it that way. There are going to be legitimate situations you simply cannot operate from due to either trauma, legitimate past situations that may have caused harm and you don't want to get into these new situations. Or it could be, hey, you know, you're legitimately not in a place where you have grown as a person to do whatever it is you want to do. You know, like I wouldn't say, yeah, go quit your job and start that business you've been dreaming about off the rip. Go ahead and like do the steps, research things, etc. Do you want to give that disclaimer? That said, I believe in line with the concept of the book, the idea is when you over-rely on empathy, you also over-allow anxieties to take over your decision-making. That's kind of the idea, which is, oh, I can't do it because of this. I think it becomes a megaphone for anxiety when empathy is overused, in the sense of, hey, remember that mama's boy example of, oh, you know, if you can't figure out, that's fine. You can come over here. We'll keep you safe. And it's like, well, in some cases, there are places where if you go out on the playground, you might get a scraped knee. You might make a bunch of friends. You might get sick because you're exposing yourself to other kids. But, you know, you go out in the playground and you be a kid. But if a kid says, hey, I'm too scared, and you become enabled in that anxious behavior, I think that's what the book is getting at, is that focus on that weakness or immaturity, in the sense of, well, I can't do it because I don't want to. But there's a degree of, well, I don't really want to do it. I'm scared, but I'm going to do it because I want to become this person. I want to become the type of person that's social or can do speeches or, you know, plays on the playground. So I'll take my anxiety and I'll find, you know, whatever tools I need to be able to still act out the behavior of trying to make a friend or playing out in the playground or trying the speech. Okay, it was a 2 out of 10, but I did it. Let's try it again, make it a 3 out of 10, you know, and then make it easier and easier over time, become a better speaker, essentially. The final thoughts I'll have on this book, as usual, I like to talk a little bit about the way the book is formatted. I mentioned before that kind of the first half kind of hits you hard, and it really does. Like, it talks a lot about like, hey, you know, empathy is, we're too much on it, blah, blah, etc. And I'm sitting there like, man, we're really ribbing on empathy. Like, is there going to be like an alternative, or are we just going to talk about it as a problem? So I think at times the book felt too harsh. It felt because it was taking an extreme stance. So I would have recommended a rewrite that kind of talks a bit more chapter by chapter about, okay, here are some issues that come up. Here's kind of a direct counterpoint of here's some things we can do, you know, instead of waiting about halfway through the book to start talking about self-accountability and ownership and kind of that focus on strengths, which is, you know, what am I good at? And yeah, I have these weaknesses, these hurdles, but what am I good at? What am I focusing on? Because that the book does eventually get there. I just feel they could have done it sooner to make it a more palatable read. That said, I also acknowledge that it may have needed that kind of shock value because it is an extreme stance. It is kind of saying like, hey, the society we're building is, you know, allowing for a lot of anxiety. And it was an interesting commentary for sure. Lastly, any lessons from this book? I mean, absolutely the balance of empathy and accountability, the focus on others and self. I definitely see in myself as a people pleaser, the lack of self-consideration in a lot of situations, the over focus on other people and their needs and their wants and my place in their circle, as opposed to how am I feeling? Am I digging the vibes? Do I want to stay here? Do I like this person? And so I definitely think that that's a lesson from this book, is the balance of empathy and focus on others, as well as accountability and focus on self. All right, with that, thank you again for stopping by, and I have missed you guys, so hopefully you have missed me equally. And yeah, like I mentioned, a couple extra wonderful books coming up. I'm going to try to catch up on some of these books that I've read and toss out a couple new episodes and see how long we talk about each of these. Hopefully there'll be some good ideas or some good recommendations that you may pick up. And as always, feel free to let me know what you thought. Thank you as always, and I will be back soon with another nonfiction book for you. All right, thank you and goodbye.
Into this episode proudly presented by the APNM Group, a subsidiary of Alja Productions, LLC. We strive to produce content that informs, entertains, and adds value to your day. We value your input and would be delighted to hear your thoughts in the comments about this episode. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please engage with us in the comments section or via our social media platforms. Your feedback helps us shape our content and uncover new topics that matter to our listeners. If this episode resonated with you, we kindly ask that you rate and review this show on your preferred podcast platform. Sharing this podcast with friends and family helps us reach more listeners and continue delivering content you enjoy. For more information about the podcast, the host, or our parent company, please visit the link in this episode's description. Also visit us on YouTube and Rumble to see and hear every content produced by Alja Productions. Thank you once again for your time and support. Until next time, stay tuned and stay inspired.